Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee.
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
All right, here we go. Another opportunity to talk shop. I'm your host, Teron Davenport, and you are now talking with TD. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. We got Elijah Campbell hitting the switches, making this thing happen. We're going to have some straight talk today, get into the Treylon Burks situation. I'm going to do that myself and also with Chris Sanders. Then we'll just kind of unload the clip, right? Give you everything that I saw at the phase three of OTA. So we'll get into that from Wednesday. And it's a great opportunity, like I said, to talk some shop. And as we mentioned, we're going to kind of just jump off to the Treylon Burks situation. And obviously that has been looked at from a variety of paradigms. You have some who are just looking for every single negative thing. If the guy breaks wind and it smells, you're going to know about it. Then you have others that are just being objective and understand that, hey, there's room for improvement. It's not the best situation, but it could get better. And that, I think, is where I fall as far as how I'm looking at this Treylon Burks situation. Now, obviously, there's going to be a lot put on this young man because the Titans made a trade. They traded away A.J. Brown, and minutes later, Treylon Burks, his name was the one that was announced as their selection at number 18 overall. So you're always going to have that tie to A.J. Brown. It's interesting to me how everybody's making that tie, Elijah, but no one's looking at the fact that when A.J. Brown first got to camp, rookie minicamp that is, there were some issues. He had a hamstring. As a matter of fact, it's funny because I remember posting the video of him going through a drill. Arthur Smith dog cursed him up. Hey, Coach Art, a week later was like, hey, man, you put that video up. And my wife, she got mad at me. She told me I need to take it easy on the guys because he actually got injured on that play. Hamstring. Didn't finish.
And you told on him.
Indirectly, I guess I did. Yeah. Like, I'm no rat. But, yeah, so it's just funny to me how those ties are made, but it's not made in that situation. And AJ was about 240. In camp at that time. I told you before, you know, how I pulled him aside and said, hey, bro, you got to lose some weight. He ended up losing some weight by the time training camp came. And I would like to say that situation worked itself out. Now, am I going to say Treylon Burks is going to be A.J. Brown? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's not time to cancel Christmas. We have to get off of this doomsday thing because he's not out there busting everybody's behind. Would you like to see that? Absolutely. Make no mistake about it. You would love to see it. But here's the thing. If he was out there breaking down everybody and giving them the business, I wouldn't be overly excited either. And that's the thing that you have to understand. You know, it's funny talking to Coach McGinnis, Coach Mack, you know, I was like, it's minicamp. He was like, yeah, this is the time where you don't get too high and you don't get too low. And that's literally how you have to approach this. And in looking at Burks, like you watch him out there, look, the first time he was out there, disgusting. Disgusting. It looked bad, right? Because, you know, he was visibly laboring. And I wrote about this. You know, he was visibly laboring through individual period. You had the inhaler. You had the ice. He left. He came back. Two reps. He's blocking. The next day, made it through most of practice, but not through all of it. It's really been a process for him. I'm not making excuses because if I was the Titans, I would be disappointed, right? But there's a difference between being disappointed and being disgusted. And some of these approaches, some of the things you hear, it's coming from people who seem to be disgusted. I'm not disgusted at this point. I know the process of ramping up and getting ready, not at the NFL level, but college level. I understand the process of working through spring ball and then in the offseason. Look, one, the summer, my sophomore year going to my junior year, I gained, no lie, from that April up to August, I gained 19 pounds. Muscle, though. No steroids, obviously, but supplements, you know, creatine, protein, you know. So I understand how you can transform yourself. You can improve yourself leading into training camp. And that's something that I think is lost on this. But you know what? Let's hear it from Treylon Burks himself. You know, he admitted that there are some setbacks, but let's hear it from him himself, you know, his outlook on right now.
I just say, you know, every player, every they come into situations differently, and I just gonna attack it every day like I have been, and just keep going with the flow.
Has it been kind of like a ramp up process as far as like starting from day one to now?
No, sir. You know, I'm just taking it one day at a time, like Coach Rayo tells me, and everything has to take care of itself.
So he admitted that there's a setback. He admitted that he's dealing with one. The thing I really like that he said, and it's not in that quote, but he said that, you know, you have setbacks, but really it's about how you bounce back from it. And I think that's the right answer, the right approach. The Titans are taking the right approach. Also, Mike Vrabel and Treylon Burks refuse to acknowledge whether or not he has asthma or if there's a breathing issue. I know he has the inhaler. He had the ice on his neck, as we mentioned. No one is saying whether or not that is the setback and the reason for the setback. They're recognizing that it was a setback. But Coach Vrabel has said each day that Burks has been out there, he's making some kind of improvement. I think that's good enough. That's what you want. And it's not just Mike Vrabel who's looking at the day-to-day operation improvement of Treylon Burks. Let's hear from Todd Downing, see what he has to say.
In process, like any rookie, you know, and figuring out what our system's going to require of him and the ways that we're going to ask him to do different jobs. And I think that each day he grows a little bit more comfortable with our vernacular, our terminology. And it's been fun to watch him kind of, get ingratiated in the locker room and all that. So he's in process, but we like where he's at.
So he's in a process, but we like where he's at. That's coming from the OC himself. So my thing is, if they like where he's at, why does Jarrett Stillman have to have such an issue? I don't understand it. And this is something I'll discuss with him on the show. Like, this isn't me talking behind anyone's back. That's why I'm specifically mentioning his name, because he is kind of like the ringleader for this. And I just don't see what's the reason, like, why is this necessary? I think that there's a way that you go about doing things. And you know what? Just like Treylon Burks said, everybody has a different way. You know what? Everybody has a different way of approaching this. My way is clearly different. Now, is there definitely something to be concerned about? Without a doubt. Without a doubt. You're the number 18 overall pick. You were a very good college prospect. There's a lot that's going to be put on you. In fact, Robert Woods himself said that they're going to, you know, expect a lot from him. I'm not saying what's going on now is kosher. What I'm saying is you have to understand that it will likely get better. And you have the reports, you know, Albert Breer apparently had a thing where he said that people were concerned about Burks's conditioning and his weight going into the draft. Well, the guy still went first round. Like, he was going to go first round. He wasn't going to fall out of the first
round. They weren't
that
concerned.
They weren't that concerned, right? And you look at, you know, the receivers, it pretty much fell the way you would have expected. Maybe not, you know, Jahan Dotson going ahead of him, but pretty much everything else just kind of fell, and he got picked essentially where everybody, even those who were, air quotes, concerned about his weight and conditioning, even where those guys and girls had him projected. So I'm not going to put a lot of weight in that. You look at him in person, and this is something that you really should do before you form these definitive statements. You really should watch him more than once, multiple times in person. He made it through practice on Wednesday. There wasn't you know, a setback. He missed one rep during individual period. Okay. We're going to kill him for it. We're going to spin it into, oh, he missed a whole part of individual period, or we're going to call it for what it is. Now, I do have some things where I think he could get better. His route running has to get better. It absolutely has to. And, I, you know, that's something I want to talk to Chris Sanders about when we have him on the next segment. But he has to get better from that perspective. He has to understand that the things that he got away with at Arkansas, even though it was in the SEC, you're not going to get away with at the league. Like Robert Woods said, this is the NFL, the highest level of football. Going against Roger McCreary even, you know what I mean? Going against Christian Fulton, Caleb Farley. Now, he did have the nice catch where he jumped up and he caught the football in the end zone. The Titans really tried to push that out and show it. No one talked about it, of course, but, you know, that doesn't fit the narrative, so I get it. But he does have to get better in order to win against NFL competition. You know, an NFL DB is a lot different even from the guys he faces in the SEC. And you saw that, an example of that. It's too bad we can't record what we see in practice, but there was definitely an instance where he clearly used something that worked at Arkansas, but it's not going to work at St. Thomas Sports Park. And it ended up getting, the pass ended up getting deflected. He didn't sell the route at all, and you have to be able to do that. You have to show him something, give him something at the top of the route. You can't just square it in and expect to get open. And Tannehill, you know, he tried to get it to him, understandably, because you want your rookie to, you know, you want him to know that you're looking his way and you're targeting him, but it was a pass breakup. These are the things that he has to get better. But guess what's funny about all of this? Again, the correlation is missing in this case. A.J. Brown had a lot of these issues also. At the release off the line of scrimmage, he had issues. He was a little slow there. At the top of the route, he needed to learn to sell his routes a little bit better. You know another common thread with all this? Rob Moore was the receiver coach. This is an area where there can be some improvement. This is an area where there needs to be improvement. He has to get better from that way. So that's kind of my take on the Treylon Burks situation. Am I defending him? No. I'm just saying let's look at this from a perspective other than trying to trash the kid, because that's what it comes off to me that Jarrett Stillman and some of these others are trying to do. And I don't think that's necessary. I think the way to look at this is to say, okay, this is where he has to get better. I want to see how he's able to get better. Not to say, hey, not to make it out like he can't get better. So that's just my take on the Treylon Burks situation. I wrote about it. You'll see it on ESPN.com. He admitted that there's a setback and there's things that he's dealing with. Again, he absolutely has to get better. This, what we're seeing now, you can't see that in training camp. It's not going to work. So not making any excuses, definitely saying it has to get better. So we'll see how that happens. I want to get a little more into this with Chris Sanders. We're going to go ahead, pay these bills, and then we'll be right back.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Fades. The lights dim. Here it goes. Doot, 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 doot. And now, starting at shooting guard for your Houston Rockets. Number 11, Vernon Mad Max Maxwell.
And now, singing your song all night long, Lionel Richie.
The funny story.
What's going on, man? How you doing, man? You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing just fine. Fresh off of OTAs. Got the second chance to see these guys come together. I wasn't here last week, so it was a good chance to see the team together. You know, I had to go up to Bristol, Connecticut, ESPN headquarters, and handle some business.
Thanks for the invite, though.
Yeah, well, you know, can't invite Vernon Maxwell to the party. No, I'm kidding. it was a summit. Had to go up there and spend some time. It was good, though.
Well, man, since you've been at OTAs, man, I know a lot of stuff's been going on with Burks, but, man, who's been standing out in practice, man? Like, you turn on the film or you're looking at practice, like, man, that dude is real. Who's been standing out in practice, man?
Yeah, it's hard to – like, you really have to be very contained with all of this. You can't get too excited. You can't get too upset if you're a fan.
Right.
But it's – just, I mean, they're just out there working, man. They're out there working. And right now, you're just kind of like looking to just see how the chemistry.
Right.
And I tell you what, if there was one person, you know, I have to say Robert Woods and just the fact that he's out there.
He looks pretty good. Yeah.
Just him being out there. He's obviously not himself, but to be out there at this point in time, you know, the knee, you had the ACL in November and he's back out there.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's good that he's out there. You know, I was watching a couple of the videos. I mean, I know he's kind of dragging his leg a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's a miracle in itself to even actually run drills and run the four-corner drills and stuff like that and actually be out there at this time. I think he's ahead of schedule. So if he continuously getting better, you never know. He might turn out to be the number one wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans, man.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the goal for them to have him be the number one. And it's interesting because he said – when he first got here, you know, he was looking at A.J. Brown as the guy that he was going to compete with, you know, and they'll push each other. And he said now it's Treylon Burks and the rest of the receivers. But he said, I know I'm a vet and he's a rookie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I need him to compete and we could push each other to make each other better. And he said that's what competition is like. That's the result. And he said they're going to be expecting a lot out of Burks this year. So, obviously, you know, that's something that has been somewhat of a lightning rod. You get differing reports. You know, some things get stretched out of context. Some things
absolutely
looked at it as what they are. And that's really the situation surrounding Burks.
Yeah, but just looking, you know, kind of listening to what you said about what Wood said, is I don't even think they're competing against each other. I just think that the veteran guy that he is, he's keeping Treylon Burks accountable. And
right.
It's not that he's being mean or saying anything wrong. He's like, man, I need you on the other side of me because just imagine if I get double-teamed, I need you to make plays and vice versa. When you get double-teamed, I'm going to make plays. So in camp or in OTAs and – you know, things like that, I need you. And I think that just shows you, you know, that there's leadership in that receiver room.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's accountability. You know, and
yeah,
looking
absolutely.
For them to be able to push each other. Like, you want to be able
absolutely.
To push each other.
Shoot.
You know, you made a good play, now I'm going to make one.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was at The Ohio State University, we had a lot of great receivers. We had Joey Gatto. We had Terry Glenn. We had Buster Timmer. We had guys like that. It ain't that we knew we were competing for a job. But at the end of the day, we all needed each other because there were some times where we'd go a three wide receiver set, a two wide receiver set, and all of us was out there at the same time. Mm-hmm. So if we made each other better, then we're going to get the great results. And that's the same thing with these two guys. I mean, even with Westbrook and, you know, Kinsey and all those guys, when they keep each other accountable, then they're going to make this whole offense better, man.
Yeah, and Woods actually, he took part in some 7-on-7. He had a nice over-the-shoulder catch, man. Such a soft throw, nice touch from Ryan Tannehill right over the shoulder for a would-be touchdown. So that was impressive. I just think Burks, you know, here's the thing, and it's kind of frustrating, I'm going to be honest with you, because, like, you know, I just don't like the soap opera approach to it.
I know.
I don't have a dog in the race. Like, I don't have a horse in the race. You know what I mean? Regardless of whether things work out with Burks, my checks are cashed. But it's just, I think
I agree.
When you always look for the negative, I just think it's bad.
Yep.
And today, Wednesday is a good, or Tuesday, Wednesday, yeah, what day is it? Wednesday. Wednesday is a good example. And he made it through all of practice, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He went through individual period. I don't have any, like, he didn't do one rep during individual period, you know, and you got people making it out to, like, he didn't finish practice and this, that, and the third. He's obviously on a management program. That is something, but your work, I don't know. It's just frustrating.
No, I understand how you feel, because the thing about it is I just think that with A.J. Brown leaving and Burks coming in to have to play right away, everybody's going to try to find fault. And I want to be careful, because I'm so glad that you said that, TD, because I don't want to make this a soap opera, and I don't want to critique him. I want to critique his play. I want to critique, you know, what he's doing. I don't want to critique, okay, he's sitting by the water jug and he ain't participating. I mean, that's just irrelevant right now. But I do think that the reason why everybody's heightening everything that he's doing is because, you know, he got drafted first round. You know, A.J. Brown is gone, and he has to play, and they're finding every little thing that he's doing, from walking to the water jug to talking to the coach to, you know, if he's bent over or if he has an inhaler or, you know, if his girlfriend's cross-eyed. I mean, all that crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. They're just doing all that crazy stuff in the way it's fair and in the way it's not fair.
Yeah, it's just – and again
– I understand.
I
can hear your frustration. I can hear your frustration.
I just – I don't like the approach.
I agree.
I'm not saying that he's in great shape, because he clearly isn't. Like, there's clearly something that's not right, without a doubt. He's not where you would like him to be. But instead of damning him to nothing but failure, I think we need to look at, okay, what can he do to get to the point where you want him to be between now and July?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, TD. With this situation going on, do you think the Tennessee Titans did their homework? Because I I'm being careful when I say this, because you know more in this area than I do. If they know that this was going on, they know that he was out of shape, they know that he's overweight, you know, why do you think they take a chance on him when they need a guy to play right away?
I'm curious where the part about him being overweight is coming from. I know Jarrett said some receiver coach told him that he's two biscuits away from being a tight end. See, but that doesn't mean that the receiver coach is saying he's overweight.
Right. See, that's a good point.
Just saying that he's big. You know how coaches are. They have a way of saying
things.
And that could just be him saying that he's a big receiver.
But see, when you say that he's two biscuits away from being a tight end, now you made it personal. You know, I'm not going to, you know, that's when you make it personal. I just think that that's the wrong approach. Now, if you say that he needs to come into camp in shape, then now we're talking about his performance as opposed to being personal. Because, man, I just think that with them heightening up that he has to play right away, I just think that the scrutiny's even bigger. And I think and I agree with you, too, because I can hear the frustration in your voice. Some of the stuff, I think it's unfair. Because, you know, you're critiquing everything, the way he walks in the building, the way he talks to the coach, the things that he does. I just think that we got to wait until September when they play the first game, if he's in shape and ready to play. Now you kind of critique what he's doing.
So rather than critique his diet, critique his all of this extra stuff, let's talk about what you're seeing actually on the field. I think that's a good thing. So I want to get your perspective.
Right. Yeah.
Just from seeing him in some of these cone drills, running some of these routes and doing those things.
You know, I want to be careful when I say this, because I care about the kid, but I got to make sure that I'm saying the correct stuff. But I think he's struggling a little bit with coming out of his break and the burst and the chest over knees. I just like you said, I know he's a big guy, and he hasn't had to run a lot of those routes where you got to run comebacks, curls, and, you know, digs. He didn't do that much in college. So I just think that with the cone drills and the dig routes, I think he's struggling with it because he's not familiar with it. But here's the thing about the whole situation and the plus about this. He has a great wide receiver coach named Rob Moore. who played in a league and has done those things, chest over knees, lie with your eyes. So once he teaches him all that, I think his game is gonna flourish. But I think it's gonna take a little time, because if you just run bubble routes and you know, back shoulder catches and throw the ball up and let you catch it, at the end of the day you gotta run routes. But if Rob Moore is patient with him, Mike Vrabel's patient with him, Todd Downing's patient with him, I think this kid is gonna flourish in his offense.
Yeah, and it's just the getting in and out of the breaks. That's the big one. And there was one. I'm trying to remember who broke the pass up. I don't remember who it was that broke the pass up, but he ran an in-breaking route, and because I'll just say an in-breaking route because we can't get into detail on the routes.
Right.
So
right.
It was an in-breaking route, and at the top of the route, he didn't give him anything. Like it just was he was kind of pedestrian coming out of the break. DB just settled down.
Yeah.
Broke on it, reached his hand aside and punched it down. And those are the type of things that I think are going to really be an area for improvement, because he was able to get away with that against a guy who will probably be doing a radio show like me or selling insurance or doing something, you know what I mean, as opposed to playing on Sundays. But you're not going to be able to do that against guys in the league.
Yeah, but let me give you a perfect example, okay? Megatron, you know who Megatron is, right?
Absolutely.
Hey, he's a Hall of Famer, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, when he first got in the league, could he run routes? Absolutely not. But once he understood how to have chest or even he burst off the cut, lie with your eyes, he took his skill set and it improved. It's kind of like baking a cake, right? You know, you put on all the ingredients and everything is good, but once you add yeast, it's able to rise. And that's the same thing with Treylon Burks. If he has the right ingredients, he's big. He can catch the ball. But once he understands how to run routes, his game is going to rise. I just think that we got to be patient, understand the severity of what's going on. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all up to him. He's going to have to learn it. He's going to have to do it. He's going to have to get in shape. I'm not saying he's out of shape. He's going to have to learn the technique. He's got to get in Rob Moore's face. He's got to watch film. He's got to Burks has got to critique everything that he does, the way he runs routes, the way he lies with his eyes, the way he has chest over knees, the way he stacks the defender every single day, and that's the way he's going to get better. But guess what, TD? I believe this kid can do it.
Yeah, no, I believe he can also. And I mean, we've seen clear signs of it. You look at his tape at Arkansas, there's definitely something to work with. So I just think it's uncalled for, it's unnecessary, and it's Bush League, honestly, the way some people are approaching this. And here's the thing, I'm not saying that he can't, he could have, I'm not saying that he came here and everything has been great, because it clearly has.
Right.
Like there has clearly been a setback. He's clearly not where you would expect him to be. But I just, for the life of me, don't understand why the kid has to be damned to already being considered a bust, and just some of these things where we're not looking at it wholly. We're just looking at it. And the problem, you know, and I'll say it, and I'm going to tell Jared on the show, Jared makes these comments without even being there to lay eyes on him. And it just – that stuff drives me nuts, because you make such definitive statements without actually seeing for your own eyes. Don't go by what, you know, source X said. Go by your own eyes. Watch it for yourself. That's the important part.
Yeah, but let me give you an encouraging thought before we get off. Everybody wanted to write off Derrick Henry. When Derrick Henry came in, his drills were terrible. His drills were bad. His feet work were awful. They were getting ready to give up on him. But I really believe that Derrick Henry used that as motivation, used it as fuel to say, you know what? I understand I'm not where I'm at, but guess what? I'm going to be one of the best running backs in this league. If Treylon Burks can take that same approach to say, you know what, they say I'm overweight. They say I can't run routes. They say, you know, that it was a bust to let A.J. Brown come in let A.J. Brown leave and bring me in. But guess what? This is the fuel that I need that's going to take me to the next level. So if Burks can apply it in that way as opposed to getting bitter, get better, but not proving to anybody else, but taking the initiative, say, you know what, I understand y'all saying all this negative stuff, but guess what? I'm going to prove each and every one of you wrong, including myself.
Yeah, and that's really what it comes down to. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Getting better, not bitter. You're 100% right. So we'll see how this thing continues to play out. A little bit of a tangent and just a
I'm about to come and give you a hug, man. Give you a tickle me. Oh, I'm about to come and give you a hug, man.
I just sometimes I don't like and having on a much lower scale, you know, having been in a position where people, you know, talk about me and my play, I don't like the way it's being done right now.
I went through it, man. I mean, I had, you know, people talking about that, you know, I can't get off the press and I can't run routes. But why, when I come in the NFL leading the league in yards per catch and having 9 touchdowns and balling, but then all of a sudden I can't run routes and I can't get off the press? So I use it as fuel, man.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I use it as fuel. And don't get me wrong, I was hurt. I was like, man, these are people, these experts are talking about routes, and you have no idea how to run a stinking route. So I understand your frustration, TD. I know. I was there. I lived it. But this is what I did. I said, you know what? Regardless of what you say, I'm going to ball out, and you can't stop me from getting in the end zone. That's how I approach that doggone thing.
And that's what they're going to have to do. On a brighter note, Reggie Robertson was out there, and he continues to, you know, just – he didn't make any catches or anything, but he just looked so good in drills and stuff like that. So he's a guy – we'll continue to watch out for.
Yeah, he's gonna. You know, I love him. He's from SMU, and I'll tell you, man, he's gonna make some plays, man. I'm telling you, he's gonna be right in the mix of being that third and fourth wide receiver. There's a lot of competition, and another guy we're not really talking about that I think can make some plays is Josh Malone.
Yeah, Josh Malone actually he made a play today down the sideline. Tannehill just unleashed. He unleashed one, and he grabbed that thing with one hand. He had Chris Williamson, one of the reserve DBs, on him.
Yeah,
he grabbed it with his outer exterior hand, you know, close to the sideline. Boom, caught that thing, and it was a would-be touchdown.
Is Westbrook in trouble?
Nah, they love Westbrook had a nice one on a seam route, so he's secure.
But so who's in trouble? You can't keep all of them.
Yeah, I Dez Fitzpatrick.
That's another show. I know it's another
Dez
show.
Dez probably in trouble. We'll see.
Oh, well, man, I appreciate you, man. I know you're frustrated, man. I know it bothers you, but, hey, man, it's going to be all right. I'll give you a hug tomorrow.
Oh, no, it's going to be. Listen, my check's cash. Bank of America will get that deposit. So I'm all good. I'm smiling about that.
Hey, you know, on another note, man, I was seeing you on Dance with the Stars, man, and they was like, Sam Cassell, come and do your dance. Everybody give you a standing ovation. Congratulations, man.
Is that right? Well, I tell you what. Oh, you lucky I forgot his name. What's his name? Avery who? What's the coach, Elijah?
Avery Johnson.
Avery Johnson.
Yeah. No.
Yo, Avery Johnson looking fool.
Oh, man.
You have
man,
to score the basketball. We out on that, dope.
Appreciate you, man. This is Caleb Farley. I'm talking with TD.
What's the 411, hon?
What's the 411?
I got it going on.
All right, back from the break. Talking with TD. You hear what Mary J is saying and Grand Poopa. What's the 411? I'm going to give you the 411 from OTAs that I got to see. Before we do that, just to kind of put a bow around the Treylon Burks situation, great conversation with Chris Sanders, you know, talking about that. I think it's really interesting. I know, like I said, Albert Breer, he had the report that Burks had weight issues and he labored to get through some of the private workouts, which were red flags for teams. We'll see. I thought it was funny what Mike Vrabel said because he was asked about that and he was like, who? And they said, Albert Breer said this, that, and the third. And he was like, you know, we really like Treylon, and I forget what the other things he said, and that's why we drafted him, and you tell Albert that we're happy with the pick. I thought that was classic Mike Vrabel, if I've ever seen
it. He was in mid-season form today.
Yeah, it's funny, but, you know, there was more that happened than just Treylon Burks. You would think, you know, based off of this show, and I need to correct that, you would think that he was the only person on the field today, so we do need to open up and get into more than just Burks. And you heard the guy who introed us into this segment, Caleb Farley. Caleb Farley was back out there. It was good just watching him move around a bit. He and Christian Fulton had the yellow jerseys on. Now, Fulton, you know, he talked about having that shoulder procedure and That's something that he had done. And talking to him earlier last month, he said that he was working to eliminate some of the things that led to a lot of the, you know, soft tissue injuries and just, you know, some of the things that will build up. So he changed his diet a bit. Ironically, so did Kevin Byard. I don't know if you got to see Byard at the podium today, Elijah, but he looked a lot leaner. You know, KB said that he's, you know, he changed his diet, a lot less red meat and chicken, even mostly fish, some chicken. But he said he's gotten into some intermittent fasting, eating berries in the morning. He
no
said
more
he
food feels, after 7:30.
Yeah, yeah. He said no cookies and ice cream and that stuff.
Couldn't be me.
Yeah, I've actually taken to that myself, and it's definitely helped. But yeah, Byard was out there, and you know, he was around the football. I think the guy to mention is Imani Hooker, and I was impressed with him. He had a nice breakup. Ryan Tannehill went to Austin Hooper just on the seam route, and he was able to break it up as Hooper tried to gather it in, and then he came down, he swooped in, and he punched the ball down to break up a pass across the middle to Hooper. And that's one thing I saw. Ryan Tannehill was really targeting Hooper a lot, and that's a good thing because, you know, I believe that Hooper is going to be an impactful player in the passing game a bit more now that this 23% target share has gone to Philly. You know, Hooper is a guy that works that middle of the field. He works the seam routes, and that's something that they were trying to do. He had a really good play on the rookie, Theo Jackson, who we've given some praise for being around the football. Well, he wasn't around the football in this one. He did a good job of just kind of like selling her out a bit and giving him something at the top. And then Jackson also got caught with his eyes in the backfield, you know, and he didn't just kind of like work Hooper to his leverage, you know what I mean? And Hooper was able to get open. He caught the pass. It was a nice, easy one. That was Tannehill's, I think it was one of his first throws in 7-on-7. So that was a good thing. And there's a lot of communication. You know, Tannehill was talking to the guys a lot. And that's something he's done for the most part since he's become the starter. But he and Hooper, you know, after the one period where Hooker broke up the seam route, they went over and you could see them just kind of going over the different things. And it's pretty interesting to me with Ryan Tannehill. You know, you talk about how is he a leader. And Robert Woods actually said this also. He is always in communication. Woods said that, you know, sometimes going from meeting to meeting, Tannehill was telling him, okay, you know, in this situation, I see it this way, so I want you to do this because I'm going to throw the ball this way. And even in film study on the field, during install period, I thought it was pretty cool because Todd Downing obviously, he and Tim Kelly, you know, when they're working on the passing concept, like they're the ones conducting everything. But Tannehill went out and kind of worked the route the way he wanted the receivers to do it. And at the top of the route against a cover two look, he was telling them exactly how he wanted them to be. And he was like, you know, if you turn your shoulder this way and you do it this way, it's a little hole and I'm going to try to get the ball to you right here. And I was like, that's something that you really have to respect out of a quarterback. And those are some of the things that, you know, we as reporters, well, I'll just say me personally, I'm not going to speak for others. Those are some of the things that I want to do a better job of bringing to the listeners and to the readers so that way you could see, okay, yeah, what is Mike Vrabel talking about when he calls him a leader? What are these guys talking about when they call? This is an example where you have your quarterback actually showing the routes during install period. That's pretty significant. I thought it was interesting. But as we continue to work through everything, Logan Woodside, he had some reps, not a lot of them. Before I move that up, I'll go to one thing that I thought Tannehill could have done better. I think it was it Fitzpatrick? I think it was Westbrook Ikhinne. He had him on a route, like breaking towards the sideline, and he kind of waited on it. And one of the DBs, was it Carter? I don't remember who the DB was, but he did it. You know, he did a good job of getting down there and punching it away. But Tannehill had he didn't look like extremely sharp, but he connected on some. You know, he and Robert Woods hooked up. nice pass. And Robert Woods just being out there in 7-on-7, it's really crazy to me. You know what I mean? And it's funny, he forgot to put the yellow jersey on, the penny on, you know, to designate the non-contact, the be ginger with me designation. He forgot to put that on at first, but then he got it on, and he ran a nice route, and Tannehill saw him, and it was a beautiful over-the-shoulder catch. So it was good seeing those guys work out and do those things. But the defense overall, I think, you know, Shaheem Carter had a couple of nice pass breakups. Chris Williamson had one. Of course, he got cooked, too. Josh Malone got him. Tannehill down the sideline. Nice one-handed catch by Malone. But overall, when you look at the DBs, Roger McCreary, they're getting him working all over the place. I thought that was really good. There's a lot to look at in that secondary. We got to see Theo Jackson and Byard working together some, which is good for the rookie to get him in the mix. I know they don't have a designated, you know, tight end stopper at the moment, but I think, you know, A.J. Moore, who had a breakup, he and Jackson are going to fill in that role. For the defense, though, it seemed like there was a huge emphasis on punching the ball away. Like, turning the football over, I think that's a big thing. And, you know, in talking to Shane Bowen, you know, about how they could take that defense to the next level, that's one of the things that came out. And even at Locker Cleanout Day, Jeffrey Simmons was saying that that's how he could take his game to the next level, not only sacking the quarterback, but sack strip, like getting the ball out and creating the turnovers. A.J. Moore, as I mentioned, you know, he punched one away from Dez Fitzpatrick. Chance Campbell, I like Chance Campbell. That's a football player. I like him, man. 180,000 tackles he had last year at Ole Miss. Always around the football. Case in point, he punched one. One of the tight ends caught the ball, and he punched it away. Who else? Somebody else had a punch out, too. I forget who it was. But altogether, there were three forced fumbles on the day. So they're definitely doing the things that they need to do there. The kicking competition was interesting.
So you're going to call it a competition now? So it's like it's a a legit competition, you'd say?
I'm not going to say – so when I say competition, it was like, okay, it's kicker versus kicker today.
Okay.
I don't think it's for the job itself. Randy Bullock was 5 for 5. Now, he kicked a 52-yarder, and he had a good 10 yards or so to spare. Is it Chad Shodak?
People are raving about him. I mean,
Chad Shodak is I think
Terry McCormick asked about him today in the press conference. It got Terry's eyes.
Yeah, he always likes to get the obscure questions in there. I think it's I have to look it up. I have to look up what this kid's name is. I don't have my roster in front of me. I meant to grab that, but he's a small guy. He's like 5'11", but he was 5'7". He was 5 for 5. Also, and that little guy has a boot. You remember we saw him during rookie minicamp booting it. So that was impressive. You know, both of those guys were good. And these are on – so they installed the smaller goalposts, the ones that are kind of like Arena League.
It's a little more narrow. That's the real test.
Yeah, so they put that in there, and those guys were good. I was impressed with that. I'm trying to find this young man's name, so I have it right here. Greg Maben got some reps in there too. He was working. So, you know, the DB group is coming along. You didn't have – Caleb Shudek is his name. Caleb Shudek, rookie out of Iowa, 5'7", 175. But there were some names that were missing. Zach Cunningham wasn't there. Jeffrey Simmons is still not there. Derrick Henry. Taylor Lewan was missing this go-round. Aaron Brewer, just some names. Harold Landry, Bud Dupree, and those are some of the guys. Kevin Byard was back after not being there last week. Elijah Molden was there for team stretch and part of individual. Then he and Monty Rice, they were on the bike. I think when you look at that secondary, though, McCreary is a bigger pickup than people are alluding to.
He's going to be relied upon probably for some of the harder assignments.
Not only that. And I mean, of course, it's June, right?
Right.
But, you know, right now, you got Farley and Fulton with the yellow jersey, Elijah Molden on the bike. We know Farley and Fulton have had, you know, different injuries and things like that. I really think McQuarrie coming in, like, that gives you a guy who you can feel confident in stepping up if those guys need a blow or if they're not able to go. So that pick is a bigger pick than a lot of people are alluding to. It could definitely help them. But it just kind of further working through everything, Hassan Haskins, man. He's intriguing. And one thing that I'm seeing is he could catch that rock out of the backfield. It's soft, natural pass catcher. I like that, you know, out of him. And that's something I think, you know, could really buy him some extra time. That running back situation is going to be interesting because you also have Trenton Cannon, you know. Trenton Cannon was a free agent signing. That guy has some jets, man. And I forgot what number. Like, I didn't realize what number he was, and I was watching one play, and like, he shot through the hole, and I'm like, dang, who was that? And I looked, and it was Trenton Cannon. So watching that whole thing develop, that's going to be an interesting thing to watch how that works. I'm trying to just kind of off the top of my head freestyle and trying to think of some. Oh, Dylan Radins. Yeah, that's something we could get into.
This is a big stretch for him. I mean, he's got probably two of the biggest months that are non-football months of his life coming up here.
It's up to this point, yeah. I mean, you know, the right tackle position or left guard position. Where is he going to work? You know, Todd Downing said he didn't want to pigeonhole him into a particular position. And I thought Paul Kuharsky did a really good job of just trying to, you know, unearth, okay, well, why do you not want to pigeonhole him? Because he was drafted in the second round, presumably to be the right tackle. There's an open spot for right tackle. Why? Because, you know, Isaiah Wilson can't get right. And, you know, they didn't re-sign Quisenberry, so that's why Radins was selected. Didn't work out last year, but, you know, we're going to see how this works out. I thought it was pretty interesting what Mike Vrabel said when I asked him, if you're getting to a point where you see a specific role for him, here's what Mike Vrabel had to say.
Right now, I mean, I think that they're, you know, he's been working predominantly at, you know, right tackle, but, you know, we'll kick in there inside based on the rotation that Keith wants or who he wants to look at. And I don't think that right now is really the time. I think those guys are doing a lot of stuff together, and the jog boot stuff really is toned down a little bit.
Working predominantly at right tackle. So I'll let Mike Vrabel tell you, not me. I'll let your coach tell you. That's where he's working predominantly. And, again, it's right now. So we'll see how that continues to develop. But, you know, as Coach Vrabel said, he could kick inside. I think right tackle is probably going to be the better spot, if you ask me, because you could use your finesse a little bit more. When you're in that phone booth, man, it's like guerrilla warfare, you know, and it's strength on strength. Strength is something that, you know, was an area for improvement for Radins coming out. I think he's more natural on the outside. We'll see how that works. But I'm glad Coach Vrabel, he was able to give us an answer actually where he's working. So those are just some of the things I wanted to get off the top. We're going to see how this thing continues to develop. Nick Westbrook at Kenny, you know, is a guy that we're going to watch closely, especially with Robert Woods being on the mend. You know, who's going to step in and lead that wide receiver group right now when they're in the individual lines? The first one up is Westbrook and Kenny. So that lets you know right there that they're asking a lot out of them.
Be the leading receiver that's not A.J. Brown coming back to this team.
Very possible. Very possible. And we'll see how this continues in the near future. I believe it's the 14th, I think that's when it switches to involuntary, to where you're expected to be there. Derrick Henry, Jeffrey Simmons, Bud Dupree, Harold Landry, these are all guys that we should probably see. We'll see how that one works out. But appreciate each of you tuning in. Wanted to, you know, unload the clipboard. get you all the information and just get my take in there on Treylon Burks. So we appreciate Chris Sanders talking some shop. We'll be back next week, get a little bit deeper into this. So stay tuned. Until then, God bless. Good night.